You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these sirens-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else. They just were too real.
And they're
to be
frozen like a
somebody
manufactured.
The hands are freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm grooving. Listen to this stuff. I'm kicking it! Hell yeah! That's no hill for hill climber.
Oldies and the goodies.
You got that, brother. We got a mixed day, boy. I'll tell you, I haven't stopped as usual. Somebody called me today and they said, look, don't ask me how I am. Because you know what the answer's going to be. It's the same answer day in and day out. You know what I'm talking about, Marco?
I sure do.
I got to tell you, but it's all good stuff, my brother. And I'm talking about the best in the West, son. Stuff that you cannot believe that's coming down the pike.
There's a lot of things. Give me a hint.
I ain't going to tell you now because it took too long to come back at me.
Marco,
this goes to you, my brother. That's to Marco, everybody. He's my true brother from another mother. And, oh, by the way, Marco, I'm glad to see that you're progressing in your health. A lot of caring from a lot of people out there in the Bigfoot world, people who know me, know you, since we've been on the air now for 2.5 years. And I got to tell you, they love you, man. They're concerned. And you get a chance, give them a little toot out there and let them know how you're doing and maybe, give them an update once in a while. Would you do that for me, good buddy?
Absolutely, Tom, absolutely.
Fantastic.
We're doing
good. I think you got another hell of a show, man. I got to tell you, my computer, I was doing writing so many contracts and stuff like that today that somebody called me. It's very dear to my heart. And I said, would you be kind enough to tell me who I got on the show tonight? Because I didn't know who the hell was on. And that's how busy I've been. I got to tell you. I mean, you can ask JB. JB, that poor guy's pulling his head out. Every time I call them for something new or addition or an addition or a deletion on the contract, he says, Tom, I just lost a complete program by you calling me. He says, but, okay, I'll do it anyway. You know, he never has a bad word to say about anybody. One hell of a guy, you know. And by the way, I got the guys in the chat room. Look who's here. Hey, girl, haven't heard from you in a long time. Charlene from Sheridan. My guys from Crypto Corner. Dave-O, how are you, babe? Oh, the gentle giant. How you doing, Mr. Secret? Gerald Castleberry, you're a new name. I haven't heard that name. I don't think ever. And my good buddy, Bill Green from Connecticut. How are you, Billy? Good to see that you're in there chatting with everybody. You know what? Without any further ado, since time has just passed, hey, Bill, do you mind if I do one thing?
You go right ahead, Tom. Do it.
Can I get melancholy one more time?
You sure can.
Here we go, folks. Listen up. Ladies and gentlemen, for a bag of chips and you think you're all that, tell me what the name of that song is and you're going to get a very special gift. So call in and let us know what you think the name of that song is. Without any further ado, let's do our shout-outs. Since I'm so melancholy tonight and I'm feeling good, I'm going to float on. Here we go to my girl in Modesto, Shannon Sylvia. Baby, you are the best. You know, I told you, all you guys out there, you know, she's my new girl, Friday. And I got to tell you, she's my personal assistant. Without her, I would be a miss. You're the best, darling. A little special, too. She's a great gal out there doing just so much work for me. Ed Berryman, he's from across the pond, ladies and gentlemen. He did that song, but he's got to do the damn volume up more. JB heard it. He says to me, Tom, I can't hear it. I said, okay, I'll send it back over to him. Patricia Blaylock down there in Palm Springs. She's got all of our DVDs, guy. She just loves what we're doing. My brother Leroy from Ohio. Man, what can I say that I haven't said about you, man? I know what you're coming up against, and you're about ready to blow the world's mind on that new find, and I know you're going to be able to do it, too. Susan Arney also from Palm Springs. Thank you for the kind words, sweetie pie. R. Wilson. Wow. Hey, he wants to come out and track something. He thinks he's got a Bigfoot up there in Oregon. By the way, up there, Charlene, in Oregon, he's from your way. Maybe I'll put him in contact with you. Garnet Cheney. And he's out there in Malaysia. He can't wait to come back, and he loves our work. Thanks, Garnet. Michael Cook from Butte, Montana. Can't wait till the team and myself get out there so he can go out there and hunt these damn things himself. Hey, buddy, I can't wait to be with you. Linda Barnett, Carson City, Nevada. He says, hey, what's up, Tom Biscardi? When are you going to come out here and see me? Well, if you've got something for me to see you about, I'll be more than happy to come see you, darling, but it's got to be on business only. Mark Barringer from Oklahoma City wants to work with us. Well, Mark, we'd love to have you. My girl up in Canada, Connie Gilbert. How are you, lubber-dub? I understand that you haven't been feeling too good. A little toot make you a little better, girl. My little girl, Connie. She's so wonderful. So positive. I like that girl. Fred from Idaho wants to be a volunteer. Hey, Fred, send something over, a little resume to JB, and he'll pass it on, and we'll see what we can do for you. Patrick Hood from Arkansas. says that we're doing one hell of a great job. Can't wait till we hit Arkansas. He'd like to join us on a hunt. Thank you so much, Patrick. We'll contact you when we get that way. Lewis Herrera, Lumpkin County, offered us his cabin. Whenever you come out here, Tom, it's at your disposal. Kind of you, Lewis. Thank you so much. We may take you up on it. Brad Latin Weiss. What a name. Latin Dries, excuse me. Want some questions on the Bigfoot. They're coming at you, my man. JB already took care of it for you. He just types that stuff out quicker than hell. The Butello clan up there in Washington. Hello there, sweetheart. How are you? How are you guys doing, too? The Crypto Corners guys. Hey, dude. What up? And my boys from Alabama. You know who I'm talking about. Creole boys. You don't mess with them guys, boy. I'll tell you. More ways than one. My brother from Alabama. That's him. Yeah. My other brother's down there up in Montana. Bruce Schilt and the clan. How you guys doing, Bruce? I hope that weather's holding back. Bo in Tennessee. I hope you're feeling better, darling. She had some chest pains. Wasn't feeling too good. Well, I'll tell you what, honey. I wish I was there to rub your chest and make you better. But I'll be back there in Tennessee someday. We'll see each other, and I'll make you all better. Can't forget my girl out there in PV. That's my sweetie, Gigi. She's an awesome gal. Mark and Kathy Casey wants to be a volunteer. Well, you know what? We'd love to have you as our volunteer, Mark and Kathy. Just send us a little bio on who you are, what you are, where you're going, and what you're doing. And we'll get back at you, sure, quicker than hell. Well, you know, I got to tell you, Marco, I'm very, very melancholy tonight. So
I feel that all the way through the vibes, all the way through this little airwaves here, Tom.
Can you? Well, let me tell you something. When I decide to put the oldies on, okay, and just kick it and just listen, and then I just zone out, man, okay? Has any of you people out there ever just zoned out or droned out and just says the hell with it, and all you wanted to do was listen to some great tunes, think about some beautiful things, and just say, leave me alone? Well, I've been there tonight, I'll tell you. But you know what? You couldn't hold this show back with 10 horses, man, because this is our life. This is what we love to do. And I got to tell you something, Marco. This is one hell of a subject that you picked tonight. This is the Arizona Connection, people. Yes, indeedy. We have some stuff tonight that will knock your socks off. We've got Roger Peterson. You've seen him in my film, okay, from Douglas, Arizona. We've got Alex Ahern. You know who he is. He's there out of Phoenix, and we got the new guy. We got Tommy AP. He's out there out of Mesa, Arizona. I spent time in all these places. Matter of fact, I had a nice talk with AP. We're going to have him on tonight. We're going to talk in detail. That picture you see on our website, ladies and gentlemen, that female creature on the left with the two pendulous breasts and the face. He notes the eyes, nose, and mouth. Take a look at it. Go to searchingforbigfoot.com. Take a look at it. Tell me what you think. The one to the right is the one that Roger took. Now, we've got a lot of stories to talk about tonight. So let's get out there to Arizona. Let's see. Here we go. Alex, you out there?
Alex, you're on. You're on, Alex.
Hi, I'm here, Tom. How you doing?
Well, young man, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. Big question is how you're doing. You're the one that's the hardest person in the world to get a hold of. I understand you're moving your office, and you're up in arms about all this stuff going on. Let's see if we can get Roger on at the same time. Roger, you there? Roger, Dodger?
Hey, Roger, you're on.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hey, good buddy. What's the weather like up there in Douglas?
Oh, getting better. I'm sitting here right now with the door open and the fan going, and I'm just doing good. I know what that song is, but I ain't going to tell.
By the way, last week you sent me a picture of you woke up in the snow.
sudden I got a bunch of music.
Yeah, I did too. I don't know where that came from. It wasn't me, that's for damn sure. Anyhow, we got AP Tommy out there from Mesa. Let him join the mix.
AP, you're on right now.
I'm here, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Now, are you getting in on this 90-degree weather? Last week it was snowing out there.
Yeah, it gets crazy. You never know what you're going to get. You know, one day it's summer and the next day it's winter, and I still expect one last storm yet, at least one, before it's over and done.
Oh, I got to tell you guys something. When I'm up there at the Apache Reservation, up at the White Mountains, I love their vernacular. I love their talk. I like the way they tell people on how they're going to do things. And one day, one of the Indians on the res says to me, "Tom, I go Christmas Mountain and I make wood." What the hell does that mean? Now, do you understand what that means? I go Christmas Mountain and make wood?
He's going to go chop some wood for the fire.
That's right. Well, Roger, I didn't ask you, dummy. I asked AP. But I got to tell you something. It just amazes me for the language difference that we have versus them. And it's a slang, you know. It's like Ubonics with the blacks. It's like... the Latinos, they have their own way of talking. And I guess the Indians and the whites and everybody else has their own also. It's really an incredible, incredible thing. Well, look, we've got the three of you guys, the three musketeers from Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. We've got them live, L-I-V-E, right now on the Bigfoot Live radio show. Who wants to start off here tonight?
You know, I'll kick it off, Tom.
Look at that. I love it, man. Everybody at once. That is so cool. Wow. Wait a minute. Hey, Marco. Before, when we first started this show, we couldn't get nobody to come up and kick to the plate first. Look at this, man. Are these guys off the hook?
They're off the hook.
All right. So who was the first one to act here?
Tom, let me say something first.
This has to be AP.
Alex.
Is this AP?
No, it's Alex.
Oh, okay. Got the same voice. Go, Alex.
You know, he's given me a crash course in Arizona. I think the one thing he hasn't succeeded on yet is maybe the accent. But he's working on that, too, you know? But you know what I wanted to say? Since I've been coming on your show and talking to you guys and meeting with you, the one goal I had was to get, you know, the three of us together on your show. And I feel like it's successful man tonight because, you know, Tommy, AP, and of course, you know, I always wanted to meet Roger and still do. Finally wanted to discuss what he had seen, and it's just amazing to have everybody on the show at the same time. You know, Tom and I have been wanting to hook up with Roger any way possible, so hopefully maybe we'll be able to do that now. But that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to throw that in. I think what Tommy has to say and probably what Roger has to say is a little bit more exciting than that. So.
All right, fantastic. I like your little tidbit that you added in there. All right, well, let's start off with our senior man and start from the backstory to bring it up to the current. And I think that put you on deck there. You're at the plate, Roger.
Okie dokie. I'd be like the Indians, and I go over and see it with my own two eyes.
I go Christmas Lake and make wood. Yes.
You bet. You. Anyway, with that picture that I just sent y'all, that was on June of 2007, and that very picture, I was being the hunted because I found fresh tracks over at Gillespie Dam. And I went and followed them. They went off into the bush, and I went too, you know. And I kept hearing something behind me. And I thought, well, maybe it's coyote or mountain lion, something, you know. After a little while, I came into this clearing of about 75 yards across, like a little circle. And all of a sudden, I just had the hair on the back of my head stand up, man, and with my left hand, I swung my camera and shot it over my right shoulder. you can see part of my shoulder in the end of that picture. But this creature, man, was down knuckle walking behind me, Tom. I mean, he was behind me no more than about 20, 25 feet at the most. And I'll tell you what, I got two shots that way, and I spun around, and he stood up. And, I mean, we're just right there, eyeball to eyeball, my friend. I couldn't raise my camera. I couldn't go for my rifle, nothing, you know. And we looked at each other for a good 3-4 minutes. And something behind me, I don't know what it was, but it scared him. And he ran, headed for the bushes. And I got one final shot of him as he's running into the bush, man. And I'll tell you, it was one incredible experience, my friend. And since then, I went back down there just this last weekend. And I spent the weekend down there checking things out. So far, right now, I got a glimpse at their guard. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, there's not too much movement going on yet. Usually they start getting up and getting active about March.
How's the ground cover right now?
The ground cover?
Yeah.
It's basically around that area. It's like a beachfront, man. You know?
Anything with any type of weight would leave an indentation. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, absolutely.
So when you were out there last weekend, did you see anything?
Not right off that were anything that was any good. Because they got these dang birds, they call them snipes. And they just messed the tracks up literally, terribly. But I'm hoping to go back again and hopefully get some good casts next time I go. I've got everything all set up, man. I turned my little van into a super camper, dude.
I got a fan.
I got everything, dude.
I got to tell our listeners out there, there's two guys that come self-contained no matter whatever our treks take us, whether it be in Texas, whether it be Arizona, whether it be Montana, New York, whatever. One being Roger Peterson, and the other being Rex Howdyshell. And
yep.
I got to tell you something, because they travel together. And when they get to a location, these guys are like two peas in the pod. And they have everything they need, and they are comfort, comfort, comfort all the way, believe
me. Yeah, that we are.
Yeah. All right, so listen, we heard your story, so there's virtually nothing really happening out there in Arizona. Now, the one that you did take, that's the one that you put the camera over your shoulder. And that's the picture that you took. How many images came out?
I took two shots, and they both came out. One of them was kind of fuzzy because of the motion of the camera. But on the last shot that I got of him in the bushes, the only one that came out any good was the one that I sent to you and to Java Bob.
All right.
So, all total, I got three pictures of him, and I had another picture that I sent of a whole mess of footprints, man. It was like a super highway, Tom. You know?
What were the sizes of the super highway prints that you found?
Well, I saw some that were in the range of about 18 inch in length, and there were even some in there that were barely over 8.5-9 inches long, and I even saw a three-toe, my friend.
Well, if anything is possible. I mean, stop.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen them from Arkansas. We've seen them in Louisiana, three-toes. We've seen them in Florida. So
yes, sir.
We know that they do exist. They could have been deformed. They could have been
interbred.
Interbred, that's correct. Inbreeders. I like that word. Inbreeders.
You bet.
All right. Well, look here. Now we heard that story. Now let's get to this this photo that was taken that nobody really knows what it is the one that Alex Ahern did with his friend up there.
Uh-huh.
Alex, you on with us still?
I am. I'm right here. Now, that's Tom's photo.
No. I didn't get to him yet. Pay attention. Those who pay attention will be rewarded. That's the reason why we need to listen, okay? I talk, you listen. You talk, I listen. I said the photo that you first gave me of that image.
Oh.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, why don't you tell my listeners about that photo and what you came up with?
We took that in November with John's thermal image camera, and we were pretty excited about it. And we took some digital photos the next day in the same location, and it still looks pretty good. And then with some further digital photos that Jeff took, I think we've, or at least there's a more than likely chance that it's a false positive coming off the trees about 100 yards back. Although, the more I look at it, I'm still not so sure, because the first one, I believe it's Thermal 1 or Thermal 1A, really looks like there's something more positive in the photo, and that behind it, the trees are maybe even getting a false positive because of that. I don't know how these thermal cameras work. Maybe Leroy does. I know, you know, everybody that was with me that night is pretty much thinking it was the trees. But
you know, if I may interject here just for a second, Alex, I'll tell you from my experiences only. I don't know about any other people. But we've noticed from the heat of the day, especially in limestone, retains the heat. A lot of the trees, the bark, retains the heat from the sun. So therefore, it would hold it or retain it like a giant sponge and would hold the heat a lot longer than other materials, whether it be a rock or bark or trees or whatever. At the same point in time, when you have a thermal imager and you put it up at night, okay, it's going to glow. And where is the glow coming? From the heat that was retained from the sun. Now, that's happened to us many times. And we were disjointed in thinking that, oh, my God, I think we've got something. But, oh, my God, it wasn't anything. It was just the, like you just said, you know, the retention of the sun that was held by the limestone or happened to be, in this case, the bark of a tree. So it could have been that also. I don't know. And, you know, you'd have to really – I've had a lot of people look at that photo. I've got pros and cons on both sides, though, Alex, I got to tell you. But the thing that really blows my mind is the thing about you guys going back there and what you've actually encountered. Why don't you tell our listeners that story?
Well, in that – relatively close to that location, Mitch had his sighting, and Preston and I ran – into the woods. Tom was with us that day. AT was with us. We were following Preston and Mitch, Tom and I, and we hit the brakes. We both got out. Preston and I went right into the location. There was a large rock outcropping and a path where something had just really gone through the bushes and really made a distinct path through the thickets. And I'm talking briars. I mean, We didn't attempt to follow it that day because of that. Although it was, you know, it was long gone, whatever it was seemed to have moved quick. Now, the night that I called your show from Aztec Peak, which is the peak in that same location, I went down to the location where the creature that Mitch saw had ran. And, of course, after doing the show, I was hungry. So I set up camp. I made myself a couple of sausages and had a couple of beverages and was just about to dig in when I heard this ungodly scream, which I can only describe as the scream, the well-known scream that I believe comes from Oregon, and that was on the Leonard Nimoy special in the 70s. It was very similar to a loud...
Hold on. I don't want you to tell anybody about that scream yet. We have a commercial to do on the other side of the commercial. We'll see if you can imitate that scream. Marco, go to commercial, please.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries. find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who are these prints? Cop and Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
like everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
Manufactured.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And it's back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Marco. You know, you guys, I got to tell you something. Those of you newcomers that are on the show or listening in the chat room, or just listening for the first time out there in Bigfoot land, if you've not seen Bigfoot Lives, get it. If you're in an area that's being carried on PPV or VOD, download it, take a look at it. I mean, I got a call just the other day from Pennsylvania. Tom Biscardi, I saw your movie off the hook, man. It is incredible. Never knew there was such a Bigfoot movie out there. Now, let me tell you people, all right? If you thought that was, and it's being hailed as the best Bigfoot documentary in the world today, if you think that is good, the two that we've got coming out, and one will run simultaneous right after the other, will shock the world and blow the world's mind. Trust me. And we're like within 30 days away from doing all that, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, it is incredible, incredible, incredible. I saw the Daily Rushes. I've been seeing them now for the last week. They send it by for my critiquing each and every day. Some of them I send out to my guys, some of them I don't. But I'll tell you this, when you see it, your minds will be blown, it's breathtaking, and you'll think twice. Well, let's get back to Alex. Alex, I'm sorry, get back, tell us the story now with Mitch. Alex, you still with us?
I still have him on here.
Alex, you still with us? Well, I think he was on his cell phone. I think he had it on speaker. AP, are you out there? Tommy?
I'm here, Tom.
Hey, buddy, good to hear your voice. Ladies and gentlemen, this is AP Tommy from Mesa, Arizona. The actual picture that you see on our website, searchingforbigfoot.com, the one on the left, the one that looks like a female, has two pendulous breasts. You can see the eyes, nose, and mouth. That is the picture taken by this gentleman. This is the first time he's been on the air with us. And I thank you, first of all, from the bottom of my heart and the rest of my team for you coming on. I know you were a little hesitant last week, but we got to talking, and you and I, were cut from the same piece of the cloth, my brother, because we talked about some stories about Arizona, so we both know what we're talking about, don't we?
That's the fact, Tom. It's the wild, wild west, any which way you want to look at it out here.
You know, I got to tell you something. 1981, 28 years ago, it was leap year, June 1981, I was out there with a guy named Glenn McGill. He was a licensed private investigator from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and he had the maps to the Lost Dutchman Gold Mine. Any of you people old enough to remember the Lost Dutchman Gold Mine? Was
I am, Tom.
In Arizona? Yeah. Well,
I am.
Thank you, Roger. I was the one that went out there and checked it out. And I got to tell you something. It was incredible. That's all I'm going to say, because we're talking about Bigfoot, not the Superstition Mountains and the gold mine by the old Dutchman himself. But, Tommy, tell my listeners out there how you came about getting in the Bigfoot world, because I understand you've been in it for like 30 years, number one. Number two, tell us how you acquired this picture, when, where, and what took place. The floor is yours.
Okay, well, you know, I haven't exactly been into research for 30 years, but I was always an avid hiker and backpacker in Arizona, been here since 71. And it was because of what we were seeing hiking is when we started to get more into the Bigfoot, just based on the things we were finding out on the trails out there. And then, you know, as far as the photo goes, you know, let me say that the photo is a result of some dedicated individuals and not just myself. It was definitely a team effort with those people that were directly involved in it. We were doing a lot of cat and mouse out there, doing a lot of tracking, trying to figure out which way they were running. And, you know, it's you put the cameras facing the east, they move to the west. You put them to the west, they move to the north. And it's a big game of cat and mouse out there. And we got lucky, and one was coming around, and it took the photo. And, you know, that was taken with a 1.0, I think, resolution camera. We have better cameras now, and they're still out there right now. I think Alex's team's got some out there. I think they're snowed in, and we're always out there, and, you know, we're fortunate enough that we're only an hour and a half away, and at any given time, Alex and I will run up there, other guys will run up there, other groups, other teams, other people, and we can kind of keep a constant flow circling that area. We'll even take a day drive. We can leave in the morning, go up there, and still be back by dark. And that's one way we can keep an eye on it. You know, Alex and I will walk around, we'll go, hey, this wasn't here last week type of thing. So the consistency of working the same basic area over and over turns out to be beneficial every once in a while. However, you know, we'll start out at the top of the rim, and then we'll drive down to basically the desert floor. And due to the dirt washboards out there, you know, that could take, you know, an hour and a half just in itself. And we'll stop along the creeks. We'll stop along different stops along the way and watch these areas. And
just interrupt for a second. For those of the people out there that don't know what the washouts are, would you explain them to them, please?
Meaning the creek beds and the washes, or?
Correct. The reason why it takes so much longer, because if the road gets washed out, explain to them.
Right. Well, yeah, Arizona is prone to flash flooding, so depending on where you're going, you got to kind of watch the weather. And it does come across the roads, either, you know, north to south or east to west. But most of these creek beds we're talking about, and the whole rim coming down into the valley, which is our water supply, they all run north and south, and north and south primarily. And, you know, you got to keep an eye on the water flow that's going through there, and, you know, certain areas you just can't access all the time depending on the weather.
Yeah, and another thing, too, I got to tell you guys, the high desert, all desert regions, you know, the seepage isn't so great. They can't take it anymore, so what happens is it just rolls off, and that's the reason why they have these drainage dishes or runways. Ditches or runoffs like they have in Vegas. Any of you guys been to Las Vegas and it rains?
Yes.
Look out, man! A flood. If it rains more than a day, you've got flooding. Period.
Yep.
Every.
Absolutely. I've been there.
You know, I got to tell you, Roger. AP is probably one of your biggest fans, and the reason why I'm saying that.
We had a good talk on the phone, and I'm really touched. You know, I'm really touched by it.
Hey, whenever these people, you know, they see you in the movie. By the way, you did see the movie, right, AP?
Absolutely, and I gotta agree with you. You know, it's one of those kind of documentaries you can't put down. And whether you get it at my website off my Amazon store at BigfootWest.com or get it off Tom's site, as long as you get it, that's the most important thing there.
What did you learn the most watching that? Did you learn anything new at all, AP?
Yes, I did, but I don't want to spoil it for the rest of the crowd. All I can say is if you hadn't seen it, you need to get it.
I like that. Okay, why don't we get back into that story there, what you were telling my audience.
Okay, well, to add, you know, what's kind of thrown a monkey wrench into the program out there is the worst fire in Arizona history was the Rodeo Chedeschi fire of 2002. It burned 300,000 acres on the Apache Indian Reservation. It 667,000 acres on the Apache Sioux graves and took out 11,000 on the Tano National Forest. So that adds to some flooding problems and some issues also. However, what it did also do is we're still not quite sure what impact it has on the migration and the residency of these creatures out there, and we're still trying to track them. And that's why we're moving up and down the hill. We're going at different times of the year. We're even so much looking into the moon cycle to try to pinpoint them. We're marking it on the calendar because it's just amazing that, you know, there'll be activity, but then it seems to either diminish or drop off, and then sometimes it seems to come back and other times it won't. It's almost like they're playing a game with us, you know, like, you know, they're sitting there rolling on the floor in their cave, and they're like, oh, here comes these dudes again, you know?
You know, you're right about that. My sighting, when I had the encounter close up and personal in 87, it was a full moon, my friend. And, I mean, there were no clouds. You could see the stars perfect, and a bright full moon.
You know, I got to tell you, I really believe, just listening to the story that you told me in the last week, AP, and I'm hearing you say it again, and you don't differ one iota, and I like that, and I appreciate that. I really believe that you've got some resident creatures there. You don't have migrational ones. I think that they've found serenity up in that area, and they are playing games with you. That's why I can't wait. You know, I've got you on the list. For when we depart next month, and we're going to have an army that's going out with us this time for 5-6 weeks that's going to come back with something. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Tom, you know, both Tommy and I can't wait for that. I'm back on. Sorry to get disconnected.
And, hey, listen, I've met you, Alex. I've talked about you on my show. You've got my utmost respect. I love the way you do business. I love the way that the passion and compassion that you have in your heart about the subject matter. And I know that you believe, as we believe, that we're going to get to the bottom of this thing. And I think it'll be in a very, very near future, believe me. Because all the work that we've all done combined, and when I tell you combined, I'm talking about, excuse me, our brethren from the Northeast, from the North, South, from the central regions, from the Northwest, the Southwest, all over this country. The work that we've done over this last 4 years has been incredible. It's touched so many people's lives. It's touched so many people's souls. There are people who've come out of the woodwork, and they've come out for one reason. They've come out to share their stories with you, me, all these people out there, and in the internet world, but they know the truth. They know who the real people are who are doing the work. That's the key to this whole thing. You know, you've got a lot of wannabes out there. You've got the people that are hallucinate, the people that are, you know, tell stories behind a computer and a screen. But then you've got the real people who go out and investigate. That's the people who we are. That's the people who are on this show right now. That's the reason why we're a success and the others aren't. That they have these other shows got to talk about us. Or they got to talk about stuff that happened 40 years ago. They can't stay current because they don't know what they're talking about. Period. End of report. You get me?
Sure. Well, is, sure.
That's because we do it in the dirt.
Ha, 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 ha.
And you know what that stands for? It's called DID. Do it in the dirt.
Tom,
yes,
I got a little thing to tell you.
Tell
now,
me.
This is something that's biblical, okay? But with all of the snide remarks that they make at us and saying how I'm a loony and all this, the Bible says what's done in darkness shall be made known in the light. And we are those that are in the light because we're out there actually doing the surveys and the studies and following what these creatures do.
Without a doubt, man. And I'll tell you something. I'll give you one else, though, to put in your biblical pipe and smoke it.
There you go.
What's the shortest chapter in the Bible?
Jesus wept.
Better than yet. Better than that, what is the longest chapter in the Bible? I wish Father Ray was on right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably I know who will answer it. It's Leroy Blevins, my brother from Ohio. And I'll give you guys a hint. It's Psalms 118.
Uh-huh.
You've got the longest and the shortest chapter in the Bible. And then the thing about it is, the dead center of the Bible is Psalms 118.
That's right.
And before the 118 and after the 118 comes out exactly the same numbers, people, 594 and 594, which will, if you double up the numbers, that's dead center of the Bible. Think about it. Something to ponder over. Tommy, I didn't want to get religion on you, but, you know, I got to tell you, a lot of it falls in place here. But let's get back to what's on the horizon. You talk to me.
Well, we're anticipating spring. It's coming up. They should be unlocking the gates, hopefully no later than April 1st, to some of these areas. And we can get in there and see what's going on and start tracking again and see if we have as much activity as we did last spring. It seemed, to slowly diminish as time went on, but it also had a lot to do with as the campers come up there, and, of course, hunting season doesn't help much either. But that's what's over the horizon. We're gearing up, ramping up. And out we go again.
You know, I got to tell you, the last time, last spring that we went out there, we was out there as late as April, I want to say. I think it was. And I couldn't believe it. We hit probably one of the biggest snowstorms that we had ever hit in a long time. As a matter of fact, the Discovery Channel was out there filming us when we were on the reservation. And that was in April, I believe. And I got to tell you, this winter has been one radical winter across this nation. I mean, you listen to the weather reports. I mean, it's been incredible. And that's the reason why we've had so many sightings all over this country, not only just here, but up in Canada, too. Man, it's been running rampant.
The heavy winds are important for the Arizona mountains. You know, the areas that we go has a waterfall that only dries up, and it didn't dry up all last year, and that really well for the habitat of any creature, especially these creatures.
Have the berries blossomed up there yet now?
Excuse me, Tom?
Have they blossomed, the berries up there yet?
The berries, the areas that we go have raspberries, boysenberries, blackberries, all sorts of apple trees, and we feel that you know, why these creatures are in the area. They have plenty of food. There's vegetation. There's water. There's caves. There's dwellings.
But they don't blossom this time of the year yet, do they?
No. They're, you know, it's still snow in those areas.
Exactly, yeah. But what about the lower elevations?
Well, we get movement there.
Well, that's the whole point. You know, see, I'm hearing two sides of the coin here, all right? And the reason why I say that is today it was 90 degrees. Last week it was snowing.
Exactly. It's been some radical weather this year, Tom.
Exactly. Really, and that's the thing that's got me worried. So therefore, I'm thinking and surmising that these creatures are held up somewhere. Is there a big cave system up there, AP?
A big what? I'm sorry.
Is there a big cave or mine shafts, abandoned mine shafts?
Yeah, there's plenty of that. There's all kinds of places where they could be. I mean, basically, you know, if there's caves, there's shelters, there's just about everything you could possibly imagine that where they could hold up if they want to.
Yep.
Kind of like what's the top elevation there, AP?
Well, that area runs from roughly about 7,800 and all the way down.
Have you been to the Have you been to the summit?
Yeah, I've been to the top with Alex, and you can pretty much look over the backside of the Indian reservation there. Over the Apache reservation, yeah.
Yeah, we figured we were looking right about where you guys were.
Yeah, that's one hellacious ride when you leave the reservation up there in White River to come over to Phoenix, and you're hitting into the other Apache reservation. Boy, you know, it's destitute out in that area.
Yeah, there's plenty of remote area.
Oh, without a doubt. I have no doubt. Why don't you, Tom, since you're new to the show, why don't you tell us your biggest hair-raising experience in pursuing one of these creatures?
Oh, well, the one that I've always remembered the most was me and my buddy Revis was out in the woods, and we're just walking around, and we weren't even thinking Bigfoot. We were just out strolling around, and I happened to have a 357 on me, and it was a 357 Ruger, and we were just going for a walk. And of course, you know, we're way far away from any vehicle or anything. You know, we're just, you know, out there by ourselves. And just like most of the sightings up on the rim top, we were out in a clearing near a water pond. And one thing for sure, you know, in Arizona at least, you know, you'll probably find these creatures near water because they need water. But we weren't thinking Bigfoot this day. And something belched out just above the pine tree line, probably just right out of sight. And it was a scream. I'll never forget. It was so loud. It was like the magnitude of like a hot air balloon. And it was a scream, and basically we stopped dead in our tracks. I know all the hair on my body stood up, and we pivoted, and we turned around, and we started immediately walking the other direction, and we were like, what the hell was that? And we're looking at each other, and I said, I don't know, but my gun ain't big enough.
That's a good one.
I like that. Yeah, it is. Well, since we're on that subject, let's go with you, Alex. Tell us your most hair-raising experience out there.
Hair-raising experience? Well, that would be the story I was about to tell you when my phone crapped out there. Sorry about that. But I get my sausages, I got my beer, and I'm just about to enjoy the first bite, and I heard what probably is exactly what Tom heard. It was a loud, prolonged scream or yell, and you could tell it was something almost human because it was vibrating like a human will when they get so intense and start screaming. You know, maybe your mother or father when you're a kid, their voice vibrates and you can almost hear the vocal cords vibrating. And it was very, very close. It was moving from my back to my side. And, you know, hair raising, feet didn't want to move. Much as I wanted to get into the truck, I was afraid to move. And, of course, I did get into the truck, and I didn't get out again until about an hour or 2 hours later when I needed another beverage. And I got out, and you would have laughed at me because I was trying to open the cooler with one hand and looking all around. I was using the cooler as a stand for my grill. Of course, you know, I was by myself. I go by myself a lot. And you know, I had to move one cooler, move the grill, and then try to open the cooler. And at the same time, I didn't want to take my eyes off the woods. So I was reaching around in the cooler, trying to find a can. And, you know, I've never been so scared in my life. And first daylight, I woke up with that beer still in my hand. I never drank it. I was so afraid, you know, and I didn't fall asleep. I passed out from fear. I woke up at first daylight. I sat there a few minutes, got out, packed both coolers and my grill, and I got out of there. Obviously, whatever it was didn't want me nearby, so I didn't want to upset it.
Wow. Listen, Roger?
Yes.
You got four. You're the last story. Tell us the biggest hair-raising experience.
Well, the biggest hair-raising experience was besides my 87 encounter was in June of 1988, and that was at Gillespie Dam again. And same thing, same scenario. We were looking to go fishing and wasn't even thinking about Bigfoot because I thought I'd left that all behind me, you know, when I had to move, when everybody was ridiculing me. So anyway, we go out and we go out to a place that's called Cotton Center, and right down the main road went right down to the river bottom, and this river bottom looked identical to the one in the Boggy Creek, you know, the movie The Legend of Boggy Creek. The bottom down there looked exactly identical. And we were down there and looking for a spot where we could get through the bushes to get to the water. Well, my son Roger was off on my west side. My son Andy was on my east, and I was right in the middle. This time I had a 357, and I went walking off towards the west, and I saw this big, huge puddle of urine and two big, huge feet. And it was not no cow that took a pee there, you know. And my son was about, I'd say about 10 steps ahead of me. And all of a sudden, this big, huge, white creature, Tom, come right out in front of my son. I mean, it was...
Wow, let me stop you right there, because we're out of time.
1 minute.
The white creature. We've seen them. They've got them in Ohio. We've seen them in Texas. We've seen them all over this country, ladies and gentlemen. That was Roger Dodger, the Mr. RPM man from Douglas, Arizona. You are listening to Alex Ahern from Phoenix, Arizona, and our new member, which I take my hat off to, Mr. AP Tommy from Mesa. Ladies and gentlemen, always too short of a time. To all my people, here, there, and everywhere, kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Bye, Gigi.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else. They just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a
somebody manufactured.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, myths and mysteries, legend, tales and facts.